Interview with Mel Stevens, 22nd of July 2002.
That's right.
Okay, Mel, you were born in what year?
1932.
And where did you grow up?
Well, till I was about 12 or 13, grew up in Grandview.
Mm-hmm.
And moved over to Kitsilano near 13th and Dunbar. I guess started grade 9 or halfway through grade 8, I think.
Right.
Because I remember going cross town on the streetcars to the Grandview for a couple of months.
Oh, and while you continued for school. And then what was the address? Do you remember the address of the house? 13th and Dunbar.
3528 okay. West 13th. It's now been replaced by another house.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, did you have a bicycle?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And a paper route.
Oh, and a paper route as well.
Yes.
So the bicycle was transportation as well as used for the
paper. That's right. There's a big heavy carrier on it.
Okay. Sun or province?
Sun.
The Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And did your family have a car at that time?
Shortly after, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because cars are a bit hard to get, as you may remember.
Right. Did the, was it a new car?
No, it was an old 1930 Buick, big heavy monster.
Yes. And did you have, neighbors had cars much then? Do you recall if car ownership was kind of a luxury sort of thing, or did people have to work to have a car, or did most people just use the streetcar, or?
There were some cars, but not a lot, not like now.
No. Okay.
And people, I guess, use streetcar.
Mm-hmm. The streetcar service itself was fairly close to where you lived.
Yeah, we used to cut up through the east side of Almond Park and get the streetcar at 14th and Dunbar at the bottom of that steep hill part.
So you actually walked up the steps?
Up the steps, that's right.
And do you remember how frequently they ran?
I think more than they do now, but I don't really remember.
Right, but normally you wouldn't have to wait very long.
Not very long, no.
And was the service considered reliable?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did the observation car come down Dunbar?
Oh, it certainly did. I remember it stopping at 14th and Teddy Lyons would show people the nice view of the water.
Mm-hmm. Did you, as kids, do anything when that car came along on occasion? Like, what sort of things did Teddy Lyons do for the people on board the car?
Well, at 14th and Dunbar, I remember quite well he did two things.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, we used to ruin it for him because there used to be a laurel hedge on the west side of the Dunbar diversion, and he used to always talk about, oh, there's a laurel hedge, and it's very hardy, so
right.
It's laurel and hardy. So we used to ruin his punchline as soon as we could. And the other thing was he used to either whistle or call for a pet crow that used to fly out from somewhere and would perch on the top of the car, one of those crossbars with all the lights on it.
How often would this crow appear on command?
Well, it's hard to say, but I remember sometimes nothing happened, but other times it did, because we didn't go up there all the time,
mm-hmm.
but I remember sometimes it did appear, and other times he had some smart comment as to why it wasn't there that day.
Right. Would he say anything to you kids because you were horsing around?
Kind of heckling him. Sometimes he would make a few comments. I don't remember what they were exactly, but
mm-hmm.
he'd say he'd acknowledge us because perhaps some of the people on the car thought it was part of his act.
Right. Do you remember any neighborhood kids that danced or sang or played a musical instrument for the observation car at that time?
And I don't really knew, I didn't know anybody that did, but I understand down at Broadway and Alma, there used to be a group that used to sing, mm-hmm. but I don't recall seeing them.
So that stop at 14th and Dunbar for the View usually did not include an actual performance by the View Kids or anyone else?
We just heckled them.
Okay. That's a side of it that I hadn't heard until I met you. So by what year did you start working as a regular job?
So I guess probably the summer of 1949 or 50, because mm-hmm. I was going to go to university and needed to work.
Now, how would you have commuted to work at that point? Where were you working?
Oh, I took the streetcar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well,
go ahead.
I seem to remember that. When I was working for the post office, delivering special delivery mail, and I rode the streetcars and the buses all over the place.
Oh, so you actually were, did you have like a weekly pass to do this?
No, you had just your, the mail bag, and I think you had a hat. Not sure about that, and some sort of a band you're supposed to wear on your sleeve, and then you could just get on all the buses, streetcars for free.
I see. That was an arrangement with the post office.
That's right.
Would that get you to and from work as well?
Yes.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That later changed. That's not the case anymore at all.
Oh.
So then, did you report to the main post office downtown?
That's right. Hastings and Granville.
Right. And so that the streetcar was your main form of commuting until what year?
Well, probably when that ended, around 1952, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. So at that point, were you still commuting by bus, or when the trolley bus started running on Dunbar, or were you into a different job then?
I only did that for one summer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then I still was using the public transportation system, mm-hmm. and shortly after that we moved over here, and then it became the McDonald bus instead of the Dunbar.
Right. Did you know the McPhersons when you lived over at...
they lived right on the corner of 13th and Dunbar, right across from the tennis courts,
mm-hmm.
where we used to play tennis.
I see.
And they used to always listen to the CBC, and we used to always hear the 10 o'clock time signal for CBC.
While you were playing tennis.
That's right. Because we used to hold the courts, we about six, seven of us, and we played tennis, and two or three would sit down and hold the court, because there used to be these women in the other court.
Right.
And we kept the court on the east side, and I remember the McPhersons there listening to the CBC.
Jim McPherson's mother recalls hearing the observation car stop at the top of Almond Park there, and he had a megaphone or a microphone PA system, and every hour she would hear the announcement of the Laurel and Hardy joke.
Yeah. He originally it was just the megaphone he used, and then the last few years they had a PA system on there so you could hear it a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever ride the observation car?
I never did.
But you saw it many times.
I saw it many, many times, but never rode it.
Right.
It's kind of a disappointment.
Yeah. They had quite a ceremony for the last trip of the observation car with... that sort of thing. But do you remember the last days of the streetcars?
I seem to remember hearing one of the last ones come down the hill in the wee small hours.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which night it was.
Were they audible from your home? For example, in the summer, if you had the windows open.
You could hear them.
Could you hear them grinding
they
up and down?
They weren't loud, but you could hear them.
Mm-hmm. The automobile traffic was obviously much lighter then.
Oh, yes.
So the passing of the streetcars would actually be something you would note.
Yeah, you would hear it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially in Almond Park, you could hear them coming down the hill.
Right. Did a do you ever recall any streetcars derailing on curves of the Dunbar Diversion or up at 16th, or any sort of incidents like that?
I can remember delivering papers. We used to have the shack at 16th and Dunbar, and there used to be a guy wire came down to the ground. We used to shake that. It would knock the trolleys off of the cars going south on Dunbar.
And how often was this done?
Oh, maybe once a week or so.
And do you think that the crew ever on the streetcar, the motorman and conductor, ever figured out what was going on?
Well, the wires were certainly shaking, or they probably figured out somebody must be shaking it, because I can remember seeing the wires shake. This is a southbound streetcars,
right.
The trolleys used to come off.
Right. So this was a little adventure that the kids had as you waited for the papers or
That's
something.
Right. Yep.
And then you get to see the motorman come out and have to put the pole back up on the wire.
The conductor used to appear, and he'd have to run to the back window and lean out and put it back on again, kind of looking around to see
what happened.
What? How come this came off? It never does this.
So that was done through the rear window of the car.
That's as I remember.
He didn't have to actually go out onto the street.
He used to lean out and pull the rope down and put it back up again.
The on board the car itself, were there any incidents where a bunch of kids would be at the back and one of the kids would pull the rope off and pull the pole off the wire while it was running along the street?
I never remember seeing that, because the conductors used to discourage you from standing in the back part.
And the conductor was located?
At the back.
At the back. So when you boarded the car, you had to pass the conductor and pay your fare right there.
That's right.
Did people kind of linger on the back platform, or did he want to keep that clear so that there was movement and...
He kind of kept you out of there because you weren't supposed to stand in there.
Right. Do you remember how much the fare was at that time?
Well, I seem to remember it being 10 cents, but I'm not sure when that was.
Right. And then the conductor and the motorman would work as a team, so there'd be two people per car. Do you remember... the streetcars running in trains, where there'd be two cars.
Occasionally, there used to be the 700s. There's a couple of them on the route after, I guess, after the Fraser Street line was closed. Then they put them up in Dunbar a few times, but not that much.
So more is just a rush hour kind of extra service.
Right.
And those would have had a motorman and conductor on the first car, and then just a conductor on the second car.
That's right.
And they could carry a lot of people, I guess, if you had two cars together like that.
Right, because the loading doors of the first one were at the back, and of the second one they were at the front, so everybody could mill around
and
where the doors were.
I see, so that the at a car stop, the people would all be together, and they'd just spill into the car.
That's right.
Wherever there were empty seats. So it might be more evenly loaded that way. It might be a little better arrangement.
I think so.
Yeah. Did they ever use any, do you remember any of the older wooden cars coming out just for a rush hour trip?
I don't remember any old wooden ones, just, well, all the 300s, you know.
Right.
Just sort of steel-sided ones.
Right. The cars that ran on Dunbar were always the older type of cars. They never used the more modern streamlined PCC car in Dunbar.
No.
And as far as you know, you never saw one?
I just saw two once in probably about 1951 at 10th and Elma, one behind the other, and I have no idea what they were doing, but they turned up Dunbar from Broadway at Elma.
And this was an area they'd normally never...
Never, visit. They were never there. So I don't know what it was.
Now, as time went on, how did your job situation and your commuting take place? Did you eventually buy a car?
Eventually, I got a car, and happened to be a Model A.
Now, what year did you buy a Model A?
must have been about 52, I think. Mm-hmm.
And do you remember how much you paid for it?
I think $125, mm-hmm. if I remember right. I got it from somebody who got it new.
Right. And then how long did you drive that for?
Oh, probably about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And then did you still use the transit system to commute, or were you driving to work at this point?
Well, I was probably still going to university and usually got a lift with friends mm-hmm. that had cars, and they used to take a car full out.
Right.
But usually we had to come back on the bus.
To come home again.
To come okay. home.
Right. And then after you had the Model A for 3 years, did you sell that?
Eventually I sold it, right. Because mm-hmm. yeah. it wasn't working. The clutch wouldn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't disengage the gears.
Right. And the cost of having a new clutch or having it fixed was just a bit too high to deal with.
That's right, right, at that time.
And then how long passed before the next car came into the picture? Or were you still occasionally riding your bicycle?
No, the bicycle was not used very much then. I guess I got another car when I started working. No, that's right.
Okay, so do you remember that car?
That was a 47 Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you had that for how many years?
I think I had that one about 5 years,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yep. And then at that point, did you get another car? Were you buying any new cars at
yeah,
this point?
Yeah, I bought a new car bought after new, that one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what was that?
Remember right, I think that was a 62 Pontiac.
Mm-hmm. And did you find the cars were improving as your time went on? Were you getting a better type of car that was able to run a bit better and longer?
I didn't see much difference between any of them.
No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you notice changes in traffic as time went on? Were you aware that the roads were starting to get more volume of cars?
Not until more recently, especially with all the new traffic lights put right. in. When I was teaching in Burnaby, and I used to always go the same route, and I don't know how many new traffic lights were added, but quite a few,
mm-hmm.
like 16th and Fur.
Yes.
They put one in there, and several more corners, I can't remember them. East 12th had all sorts of new traffic lights mm-hmm. Between Nanaimo and Renfrew.
Right.
And that was all developed.
Do you recall the first traffic light that went in the whole Dunbar area here, sort of the west side? As you grew up, do you recall a traffic light at Broadway and Alma, 10th and Alma?
I can remember Broadway and Alma and 10th and Alma, no traffic lights.
Right. So basically,
Broadway McDonald, no traffic lights.
Right. So basically, as in the 40s, if you went up and down Dunbar from end to end, you'd be unlikely to find any traffic lights anywhere.
I don't think there were any.
No.
Fairly sure of that.
I recall in 1965, when we first moved here, that 41st and Dunbar had a flashing red for one direction and a flashing right. amber for the other direction. And you went all the way up to the top of the hill and down the other side, and the next light was at 10th and Alma.
Mm-hmm.
And King Edward and Arbutus was a four-way stop.
Was it?
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and so as you say, the proliferation of traffic lights has really changed the driving, and the volume has increased so much too. Do you recall when stop signs were installed in the area or on your streets?
Well, here, just fairly recently, they've put stop signs alternating all between McDonald and Elma.
Right.
16th down to, I guess, Broadway.
Right. But prior to that, for many years, there's never been neighborhood stop signs.
No.
Or traffic circles.
No, they're new.
So that's something else that's new.
I just remember the diversion down the center of 12th Avenue between Trafalgar and McDonald. There used to be like a center median.
Right. Do you recall the hill on 14th Avenue coming down from Dunbar Diversion to the east, where it drops off quite steeply? Do you recall that being closed off by the city with signs when it snowed for sledding?
Yes, they used to close 14th Avenue. And then later on, they changed it to 15th and closed it all the way to Waterloo.
I see.
And I remember that quite well.
How early do you recall them doing that?
Well, it must have been in the later 40s when we moved there.
Mm-hmm.
They closed 14th at first, and then later, as I said, 15th.
Right. And do you think that there was more snow then? There were more winters that were cold that they did this? Because I recall them doing this into the 1970s, into the 1980s a bit. I haven't seen it for years, but that used to be a regular sign at the top of the hill there, was that it was closed for sledding, I think was the word they used.
That's right. No, it was seems to have been more snow occasionally back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember Lost Lagoon freezing over a few
yes.
times.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have roller skates as a kid?
I did, with the steel wheels, and you had to clamp them onto your shoes. I didn't like them very much, never used them very much.
Right, and you had a key to clamp them onto
That's
your
right.
shoe.
Right. Yeah.
So in the sort of the transportation area, we've looked at bicycles and roller skates and a scooter. Did you ever have a scooter to get around when you were really
Never had a scooter.
Never
had a scooter.
No.
No.
A tricycle.
When I was about 3 years old.
Right, okay. The recent years, because you've lived in this area now for some time, when did you move from
13th
over to here?
Probably 1952 or 3.
So it wasn't long after the streetcar stopped running.
That's right. Shortly after.
Okay. Do you remember the Brill trolleybuses when they were new, and what did you think of them at that time?
I was amazed at the pickup on them.
Right.
Because it was the 10th Avenue one, and it was very, very fast.
So the 10th Avenue line was running before the Dunbar line?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. And there were announcements that this was about to arrive in Dunbar, that streetcars were going to come off, and then the trolley buses were also going to start running in the Dunbar line.
I seem to remember that, but not that one. Don't remember the details.
Okay. Do you remember a streetcar line on 41st Avenue?
Yes.
How did that operate?
Well, it was double track to where the present-day McDonald's is at East Boulevard and 41st. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was single track with a passing track near Mackenzie Street, because 41st is quite wide, but it was just almost gravel. A lot of it was kind of gravel. And then it turned at 41st and Dunbar and a Y there.
Right. Was that the same Y used by the Dunbar cars to
yes.
turn around?
Mm-hmm.
The service on 41st Avenue, was it frequent or occasionally?
Well, most of the streetcars went only as far as East Boulevard. That
so
was the number 6.
And then you'd have to transfer.
If you wanted to go to Dunbar, you had to transfer. That's right.
So that section of line from Dunbar to East Boulevard actually had a route number.
Oh, yeah. Well, the 6 only went as far as East Boulevard, and the 7 went all the way to Dunbar.
So So the seven.
We both started on Fraser Street.
Right. So there was actually through service.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So if you were coming down Granville and it turned west onto 41st, every other car would turn at East Boulevard, and every other one would continue through on 41st to Dunbar.
Yeah, about like that.
On the single track.
Because also, that's right. Because the other end, usually the sixes only went to 49th and Fraser.
Right, okay. Did the, at the passing section, did the streetcars actually meet there? Was there frequent enough service for the cars to meet there?
That was a little out of my range, but probably they would during the middle of the day.
Right. And as on the Oak Street line, they probably would pass a staff.
I don't, that's
important. We don't recall that.
Not sure.
Okay. One thing that has surfaced in our research here is that the Celtic shipyards down at the foot of Blenheim, during the wartime, was a major shipbuilder, and right. They ran a bus up and down Blenheim from the streetcar stop at 41st and Blenheim down to the bottom there, and it was owned by the shipyards, and it was run by an employee as a shuttle service to get the people down there, and then he went to work at the shipyard, and then he'd bring them back at the end of the day.
So I didn't know that.
So that was a little bit of information that's come our way. The McDonald bus, of course, you were familiar with because you moved over into this neighborhood.
That's right.
Did it run to downtown when you were riding, or did it actually just start from Broadway and McDonald?
Right around there, it went all the way downtown.
Right. Originally, it just ran from Broadway and McDonald to 41st.
Yeah, that's right.
But by the time you moved to this area, then it was running.
I think it was going downtown. It started downtown with the end of the Kitsilano streetcar to Kitts Beach.
I see. And then when you would take the McDonald bus, do you recall what kind of buses were on it?
Yeah, the old Fagel ones, a whole bunch of them.
And then in later years, you recall the Brill diesel buses?
Yes.
Running on the line?
That's right. They were the pink inside, I
right,
think
that's
remember,
what,
right?
Most people remember the pink interiors.
Yeah.
And then eventually they came along with the new look GM diesel buses.
That's right.
So you got to see a transition every generation of a new type of vehicle. Do you remember the last streetcar that ran in Vancouver at the very end?
I didn't go on it, but I know it was a number 14 line, and that's well written up.
Right.
Lots of information on that one.
Right. I don't know if there's anything else you can think of in the transportation area that relates to your neighbors or any other adventures that occurred that you might want to include.
Well, I just remember that occasionally there used to be a McDonald bus that go to McDonald to Marine instead of just to 41st.
Oh, I see. And that was just a rush hour trip?
That's right.
Do you remember the King Edward bus starting up?
Not specifically, but I can remember. That's not that old.
That's 1982.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. And so that really kind of covers our sort of Dunbar transportation area. There's another area that I sort of talk to you about another time, but just as far as the transportation goes, I think that pretty much covers most of what we want to know.
Well, that's great.
Okay. So
enjoyed helping you out.
Okay, well, thank you very much. One last area is your present day use of a bicycle. When did you first start riding a bicycle again after you had stopped riding a bike at one point.
Well, I live quite close to Broadway, and about close to 20 years ago, my daughter had a bike, mm-hmm. and I used to go down to the bank of Broadway, often drive. Then I decided one day I would take the bike down because it was a lot faster and the parking was ever so much better.
Right.
So I just kept on using a bike after that to go to Broadway and then expanded all over the city, downtown, and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Quite enjoyable.
And have you had the same bicycle all this time?
No, I have about 6 different bicycles now. First one got stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, none of them are expensive, and another one, something happened to the frame, so that one's not serviceable. But I have 3 or 4 others that I still use.
Right. Did you find it difficult to start cycling again, or did you just sort of pick it right up?
I think I picked it right up and enjoyed it, and the best part was the parking. You don't have to worry about parking. You just lean the bike wherever, and you're mm-hmm. right there.
Would you have just walked up the hill to the newspaper shack there at 16th?
Right.
Would other kids have arrived by bicycle?
Well, I always walked up with the bike.
Oh, with the bike.
Because you had to use the bike. Because the papers are pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, everybody had bikes.
Right.
All sorts of them.
And how long was the paper route?
About 85 customers.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to be 21st Avenue and 22nd Avenue between Quesnel and Dunbar.
Oh, okay. So you didn't deliver west of Dunbar?
No.
No.
Okay. East of Dunbar.
Okay. And how many kids would gather there at the newspaper shack for their pickup?
Must have been about 15.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few more than that.
Yeah. And then did they take you out for a dinner at some point, once a year, or a special event?
There was a few special events. That's usually if you could sell new subscriptions, but I can't remember any dinners.
Back in the 40s and 50s, the street lighting was nowhere near as predominant as it is now. What do you recall about the street lights in the neighborhoods?
Well, I just remember the single arm at each corner holding out the street light, which could be lowered down to change the bulbs. And they were quite common, all the non-important streets.
Mm-hmm. And would this have been an incandescent light?
Might have been carbon arc, but I think maybe incandescent. I wouldn't be sure, because they're long gone.
Right. And would they have been in the middle of the block as well, or?
As I remember, just the corners.
Just the corners.
Just corners.
And what would happen when you went out onto Dunbar? Would the lighting be any better on Dunbar?
Well, it had those, what would you say, just those shorter lampposts, the steel lampposts,
right.
With the lights on the top of them.
Post-top lights.
Yep, that's okay. The type.
With the glass globe.
That's right.
On top.
Yep.
Incandescent light source.
Yep, that's right.
And those would have been all the way up and down Dunbar, or just in the shopping district where you had the stores?
I really don't remember that well.
But those were on a main street.
Yes.
So the main street had more lighting.
Mm-hmm.
If you were driving at nighttime, would it be a little more difficult?
Yes. The lights really didn't do much good. You could certainly tell whether you had your headlights on or not.
Right, okay. As opposed to today.
That's right.
Would you recall anything about a time when they did a blackout as a test during the war?
Yes, I remember. They were very scary things because they sound these air raid sirens, and that would scare you, and then you had to shut the lights out or put this tar paper over the windows. Then these air raid wardens, the ARP, I think they'd come around if there was light coming through the windows. That's about all I remember about blackouts. They were quite scary.
For a child, this would have been a thing you'd remember.
That's right. That's what I remember.
And the streetlights sometimes had an arrangement with a bracket to show the name of the street mounted on it.
I just remember the streetlights that had, like, two pieces of iron that crossed.
Yes, now what did that mean?
That showed you that was an intersection because of the bad fogs.
Okay. So visibility during the driving during the fog and the heavy fogs, that told you you'd actually reached a cross street?
There was a cross street there, if you could even see them.
To start with.
That's right.
Everything was very muffled in the fog, and of course, you know, people would tend to follow the streetcar tracks.
That's right.
Would they follow the streetcars that went along too, or in a train of cars to try and get to where they're going if they saw the 7 Dunbar streetcar?
They just ride the tracks and kept following the tracks. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how they knew when it was time to turn off.
Do you remember the tracks being removed from the streets?
I remember seeing it happening, but I can't tell you much about it. Mm-hmm. Just pulling them up, and there's lots of pictures around of it happening.
Right.